That was head coach Jerod Mayo this morning talking with the Greg Hill Show. That was Curtis asking the question, and what an answer, huh? You tell me. Okay. Because the guy before you had a bunch of bad drafts in a row and didn't make very good decisions with free agency and so on and so forth. And neither did the new guy, by the way. New guy's draft isn't looking too hot.
Not so far.
And the free agent signings, I don't think, were anything that set the world on fire, since it was mostly just guys who were on the four-win team the year before. And that's really what it's about, and that's unfortunate. But I do think that that question and that answer was a not-so-veiled shot at Bill Belichick. I mean, right? Like, that's it's clear to me, I think.
Because it's facts.
Yeah.
Like, he's just acknowledging facts, but he's basically saying, I'm not going to verbalize them.
Right.
I'm not going to. You know the answer to your question, so I'll let you answer it yourself, basically. I'll let you guys talk about that. We all know it. We've all. It still happens all the time on feeds, on Twitter all the time. People love to list Belichick's draft from whatever they are, 15 on, or whatever the years are in that span of just. And you forget. I forget. Like, I even, every time it's sort of revisited, it's like, oh, yeah, they took Duke Dawson in the second round. Like, all these guys that just didn't work out.
Wynn, Michelle, Dawson.
Like, that's a bad draft.
Bad.
Like, if you nail those, and I'm not saying it's fair to maybe expect you to nail all of them, but if you get a left tackle, a franchise running back, and a cornerback who's like a high-end starter, that's transformational.
Definitely.
If you miss on all of them, it's also transformational, but in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is, and I understand Jerod not wanting to go all in. He wouldn't. Just like I don't think Bill has gone all in ripping Jerod, or Jared, as they might call him on the CBS broadcast.
Right, Jared,
But like,
or Jerod.
You know, maybe what, maybe what Jerod just said, what did he say, I'm not going there? Is that how he answered?
Yes. Well, he said, you tell me, and then he said, no, I'm not going there after that,
Maybe Bill, after week one against the Bengals, told producers, yeah, I'm not going there, about the Patriots. Like, they can both kind of keep their distance from the obvious whatever their relationship
is. Well, Belichick went there a couple weeks later, that's for sure, and he shouldn't be going there because that's his job now. His job isn't to make friends and keep people happy and make sure everybody still loves him in New England. It's to go out there and opine on the NFL and talk about it and analyze it. And analyzing the Patriots now, it's easy to take shots at him, sure, but that was definitely a shot back.
You think he'll go there this week? And I haven't seen what Bill has done today. I haven't really been on the socials to see, you know, will we get any. Looks like the Patriots got a young quarterback, but we had a young quarterback making plays too. You never know how that turns out in the end. Like, I feel like there could be snarky shots.
I bet you there will be. Right? I mean, listen, that was a big story this week. Drake May starting was a big story this
week.
And one of the not the biggest one in the league or anything, because it's a 1-5 team, but in terms of, you know, a guy who was picked third overall, who's been kept on the shelf now until this point in the season, on a prestigious team with a rookie head coach who's gotten off to a bad start. Like, yeah, this was a big story. And I think that he, for the most part, rose to the occasion. He wasn't perfect. We already went over some of the shortcomings that he had in this game. But I think, in general, anybody who feels good about Drake May going forward should feel good about him. The rest of the team, That's where I'm sort of stuck. That's where I still can't quite get there, because as good as I think Drake May can be, there's 52 other guys on the team. Maybe knock out two of them. Knock out Douglas, knock out Booty. So 50 other guys on the team who I think are struggling right now, who I think are playing below what they should be at, and who I think may be wasting a year of Drake May's rookie contract, which you may have done anyway by shelving him for 5 weeks. But to just sort of throw that out the window because the roster's so bad, I feel like is poor planning at most.
So can I flip the script a little bit and take the positive side, as I want to do? I told Brian earlier, I'm in this weird world where when I'm on with Fitzy on Six Rings, I'm the negative guy. And when I'm on with you, I find myself being like the optimistic, positive guy. So it's a, I guess it's good.
The yin and the yang.
It brings out my objectivity here.
Right.
Even if, like, the depth of the drafts are questionable, if Christian Gonzalez is who we think he is, and Drake May is who we optimistically hope he is. I'm not going to say we think he is, because you can't really think after. We can go over that list that Alex Speer tweeted out of the others with three touchdowns in their first NFL start.
And
you know, Todd Marinovich and
that
other
was
guys.
That was depressing reading
it. It was.
I wish you hadn't even told me about
it. It was a bit of a downer. It was a bit of a Debbie Downer there by Alex Speer.
Here we go. Here's the three NFL rookies with three touchdown passes in their first career start. Will Levis. Bad start right there.
Ouch, babe.
Trevor Lawrence.
Eh.
Marcus Mariota. Ugh. Matt McGloin, who I haven't even heard that name in a long time. I forgot he even played.
Yeah.
Josh Freeman, Kansas State. Tony Banks, Marinovich, Ed Rubbert, who I don't have no idea, 87. Kevin Sweeney, also 87. Dan Marino, pretty good.
Ooh, Dan Marino. Never won a Super Bowl, though.
Jackie Lee, who played in the 60s, and MC Reynolds, which sounds like the worst rapper ever, who played in 1958. And that's it. That's the 12 rookies, so, along with Drake May, who had three touchdown passes in their first start. Dan Marino and the worst group you've ever heard of.
Is this like one of those things where the, remember for a while, the NFL MVP never won the Super Bowl or whatever? Is this like one of those negatives? It's bad to throw three touchdowns in your NFL debut?
Clearly, it's the worst thing that can happen.
Well, he's going to break the trend. Just like everybody told me, there's never been a good quarterback drafted third overall or some stupid thing. That's why you couldn't draft a quarterback. There's one of those. He's breaking all the trends and the molds and everything from the past. Drake May changes everything. But in all seriousness, if the only two picks they nail from the last two drafts, the first one, which was, it was Grow, the collaborative, Belichick.
Right.
We weren't really sure.
Which got you Gonzalez and White. So, I mean, you know, that
but
that
forget
one's looking,
White.
Okay.
I'm not sold on White.
Not
go
sold
back
on
and
White.
Look at one of those long runs. He just got squashed like bug.
Yeah.
Run fits, he was fit right out the hole. But let's just say Christian Gonzalez.
The guy who got all the sacks yesterday, I'd never heard of before.
Oh, Roy?
Who the hell is that?
No idea.
Never seen him before in my life.
And then they were like, his second game with a sack, and I'm like, wait, he had another game with a sack? Where the hell have I been? I host a post-game show. I'm supposed to know these things. But if Christian Gonzalez is a Pro Bowl corner, mm-hmm. let's just say that. Not okay. All-Pro, not Hall of Famer. Pro Bowl corner. And Drake May is your franchise quarterback. Those are two good drafts, right? Those are foundational in a two-year span, regardless of the other six players taken or whatever the total is. And now you just have to hit on it moving forward. If you always draft a Pro Bowler, I feel like that lays a pretty good foundation for a roster in a 3-4-5-year span, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're optimistically observing Christian Gonzalez, one of the most important positions at football, and Drake May, most important position in football, Patriots are laying a foundation. Aren't you... do something to that, wet blanket boy.
Hey, listen, that's a nice foundation if they end up working out.
I made you positive for just a second.
If they end up working out, that's a great foundation.
Wait,
absolutely.
Are you having doubts about Gonzalez?
A little bit.
Just because it...
I thought he got smoked yesterday.
Smoked feels strong.
I thought he got rolled
he
up
was
and
chasing.
Smoked yesterday. And on that one long run...
To put it blunt.
Ugh. I mean, no one was tackling well, but I was not impressed by Gonzalez in that game.
You know what I didn't like about that? Wasn't a tackling issue. I don't think he was running full speed. It's like he anticipated where he was going to meet him, and he's like, oh, I'm going to meet him at the 5. I don't need to run any faster. I didn't like the hustle on that. You're right. You're right. Down arrow on him. Forget him.
See, I made him hate Christian
Instead
Gonzalez.
Of me bringing you to the positive side, you brought me to the dark side because I forgot about watching the replay. I did not like his effort and his hustle on that play.
Yeah.
He was not all in to catch him. And that is the most basic drill in the history of football. Every level, you run that stupid rabbit drill where a guy runs down the sideline and everybody pursues at different angles. And if you're like the backside corner, you're supposed to be the last guy. You got to meet him before he gets to the end zone. And he was not going full speed. I'd like to see the advanced numbers or whatever from the NFL on his speed. It was not as fast as he can run.
No, it wasn't. We just played that clip of Jerod Mayo taking a shot back at Bill Belichick. And speaking of shots taken at Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft joined the good people over at the Breakfast Club Morning Show, which is a nationally syndicated show with Charlamagne and DJ Envy. And unfortunately, I forget the young lady's name on that show, but I can tell you that Kraft going on there, he went on there to promote his timeout against hate thing that he's got going on. And Charlamagne asked him a question about Brady and Belichick, which obviously that was going to be a big part of the conversation. And Kraft's answer was very interesting.
Very.
Did Tom need Bill or did Bill need Tom?
Are you two married?
Yes, 23 sir. Years.
Yep. How many?
26 years. Well, married for 10, but been with my wife for 26 years.
Married 23 years.
So think about your marriage. And by the way, that decision, if you get the right person, you're going to go through tough times.
Absolutely. Stop it for a second, Stiz, real quick. He always comes back to marriage, doesn't he? It's always about marriage. Jerod Mayo, well, when I met my wife, I knew. And then it's like, well, when I met Jerod Mayo, same feeling. It's all about marriage is like the center of his universe when it comes to these comparisons.
And I do think for him, they're kind of the two most important decisions he makes in his life.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's lots of businesses and players and this and that and deals with the box company.
Mm-hmm.
But he married the right woman, and then he married the right coach, and it laid the foundation for the success of his life.
Yes, it did. All right, go on, Stiz. Sorry.
But you stay together, especially if you have kids, and the dividends you get later.
Mm-hmm.
But who's more responsible for keeping it together? How do you answer that? And that's...
My wife's easy, my wife.
You don't. So, the rest, they just start laughing and.
Oh, okay, fine. I was, yeah, that's that was a part of it for sure. And, you know, it was in some ways, and there's more to it. There was more parts of it there when he talked about Belichick and how, you know, he didn't want to have to fire him. He gave him so much power. The check, do we have that part?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a different, you threw me off when you asked about the way you, but yeah, this was the question that the girl from the Breakfast Club asked. And then,
okay, sorry, I mixed up the question. I didn't set that up very well. My bad.
All right, here we go. Here's the juicy one.
Yes.
So you and Belichick, like, where? What's the relationship now? Because, you know, it's been on and off rumors that y'all don't really like each other like that.
Look, I kept him for 24 years. I didn't enjoy having to fire him, but I tried to do it. If you look at the press conference and how it happened, try to do it in a classy way. And what he did for us was great.
One second. We have the ability of hindsight now. Is that a classy firing? That press conference where they were in that old crappy room that not even the new room with the press conferences, it was in that old room, and he's standing up there next to him on stage. Like, was that a classy firing?
They tried to. Remember, it was not a firing. It was a mutual parting of ways.
Right.
I guess that ruse.
Which, by the
over.
Way, is like, yeah, I didn't want to have to fire him. But,
I fired his ass last January, and I did it like that.
But I was classy about it.
Wouldn't you have just said we had to mutually part ways? If you're going to start that narrative...
Mm-hmm.
Don't you stick to it?
Yeah.
Why do you say, I fired his ass?
I mean, I think we all know that it wasn't a mutual part.
No, I know,
but
we all knew then, mm-hmm. and they pretended then, so why did we... So is there a statute of limitations on the pretend?
On how long you can lie?
You pretend to early October, and then when mid-October comes, I'm telling everybody I fired you.
As soon as I'm going on the Breakfast Club, I'm going to really spill the beans. All right, anyway, guys.
Well, we saw how it just went with Robert Saleh, so given that, I mean...
That's true.
You know what I mean?
It was classier than
that.
It was
classier,
yes.
You know?
And what he did for us was great, you know? People need to adapt. Things can change. In life, it's about getting good chemistry and trust. Feel that, you know, our record the last 3 to 4 years wasn't what I wanted. And I had given him so much power. He had full control over everything. And shame on me. I should have had some checks and balances better. But he had earned that right. But then the results weren't there. And if you're in the sports business, you win or you lose. There's no gray.
Right. All right. So he kind of talked in a circle there. But
there's a lot of buts.
Right. Either shame on you for no checks and balances, or he earned the right. Which one is it? It's got to be one or the other.
And you
shame
didn't,
on me.
You didn't really give him the power. He earned the power.
Right.
Or did you give it to him? Like, you know what I mean? If he earned it, and... I have no idea how that went on behind the scenes, because I was always under the impression. I learned something this offseason that I never knew. I had always thought Bill had full power when he got here, and then it became, even Robert said this, he didn't get full power till after the third Super Bowl.
Right.
2004 is when he took full power. How did that come about? Was that just Robert saying, you know what, you should have full power? Or did Bill say, I want full power? You know, and when you ask for something...
I bet you Bill asked for it.
Right, and when somebody asks, isn't there always the implication... Or, so if Bill says, I want full power in 2004.
Or I'm out of here.
Or what, right? Like, isn't there always that
and
or?
And we don't know what any of his contracts ever were, right? Like, there was, none of that was ever public, so we don't know when he had to be re-signed or when that conversation even needed to start happening or anything. So it could have been then, or is the defining factor.
And a lot of these dynasties or these Super Bowl runs break up because of that, right? Jimmy Johnson in Dallas, like. Credit, who's doing more, can't live with you anymore, either or. And I think that's an interesting thing that I kind of learned. One of the few things through this whole, like, retrospective was, he didn't have full power before then, which means now he's got 3 Super Bowl rings. He's got the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the leverage. So did he leverage it? Did he leverage it for both money and power? And is that what Robert's telling us? That he kind of took full control and I regret the full control that I gave him? But can he really regret it when there were 3 Super Bowls on the back end? You got paid off?
Yep.
Like, when did it become regrettable? Just in the last couple of years when he wasn't very good and wasn't winning? And that was post-Brady. So there's just – it's an interesting conversation, but he definitely kind of talks in circles.
Definitely.
Like there's, like, 3 buts in there. But I should have, but I didn't, but he took it, but he earned it, but I gave it.
But shame on me for not doing that. Yeah, right, exactly. I think – honestly, I'll take a break here, but I think it was just a simple math problem. I think that if Kraft thought – Bill could have gotten the Shula record here in the next 2 years, then he would have put up with all that stuff he said. You know, it wasn't great, and we weren't winning games, and we weren't even competing for playoff spots. If there was enough time left and only enough games that he had to win like 7-8 games a year for the next 2 years to catch Jula, I bet he'd still be here, because I think Kraft wanted that to happen here. And I think that that's something he would have tolerated in order for that to happen here. The only problem is if you're winning 4 games a year, 3, 4, 5 games a year, it's going to take 5 years to get there. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just simple math. He said, you know what, this isn't going to happen, so let's fire him now and move on and get on with our lives. I honestly think that. I think it was as simple as that.
I'm not so sure. I think it got a little toxic, and I think what happened was, to use his thing, the marriage. Well, you're in a marriage that maybe you don't love, but your husband slash wife
separate beds.
Yes, yeah. But they're making $5 million a year, and you're living a pretty good lifestyle, and the kids are around. Now the kids have grown up and left, mm-hmm. and they just got laid off, and you're making $32K, and you're like, yeah, I'm not really into this anymore. I never really loved it, but I loved the $5 million. Now the kids are gone, and the money is gone. You know who else is gone? Peace.
See you later. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls right after this.